welcome to Who Goes There, the biographical game that looks at famous people through history and the histories of famous people. My name is Martin Young. Joining me today are regular team captains Francis Wheen and Fred Housego. And on Francis's team is Carol Sala, the columnist for the Sunday People. And teaming up with Fred, we have Rachel Holmes, the biographer and Amazonian bookseller. We'll be giving 2 points for a full and correct answer, 1 point for getting halfway there, and 1 point for any bonus questions. We can move on now to round one, which is our archive round. You must identify some famous people from these recordings, but be warned that they may not be talking about a subject that has anything to do with them. Francis, who is finding inspiration in this clip?
I got up to shave one morning, and there was a box of dental floss sitting on the sink, and I said, well, you know, nobody's ever written a song about this stuff, so let's just go downstairs and do it.
Didn't you once have a country band that sang songs about dentists?
I did. I used to be the lead singer of a band called Hank Clinton and the Bijou Pervettes. And our show-stopping number was called Dentist Love. It was all about, in the labour of love, I was only just apprenticed. Now you've gone and run off with my dentist.
This is show-stopping stuff.
Well, I thought I was the only person in the history of the world to write a song about dentistry.
There's somebody else.
Could it be Frank Zappa?
Yes, very good. Well done. It was the singer and guitar maestro Frank Zappa. As well as being a rock musician, Zappa was an accomplished jazz guitarist and composer who worked with the London Symphony Orchestra. Carol, who's having trouble with his world leaders here?
Iraq has signed the Geneva Conventions on the treatment of prisoners of war. We demand that Saddam Hussein abide by the provisions of these conventions.
I'm so pleased Francis did so terribly well.
It's the Vice President.
Yes.
Is it? Yeah.
The then Mr. Vice President.
The then Mr. J. Danforth Quayle. Mm.
That's absolutely right. It was James Danforth Quayle, Vice President to George Bush, who spent much of his time in office opening his mouth and putting both feet in it. However, he did at least have a sense of humour about his famous misspellings, as this particular excerpt proves.
Well, I can spell liberal. C-L-I-N-T-O-N-E.
Is it true that there's so many stories about him? The one that I'm going on a tour of Latin America, I must learn some Latin.
Now, Rachel, who is getting blasphemous here?
What somebody writes and is not known, who cares about that blasphemy? But each time you repeat a blasphemy, well, you commit a blasphemy. And perhaps it would have been more appropriate to ignore such a book.
It's not Bhutto, is it?
It is.
It is.
Very good. So what's she talking about?
She's talking about the Satanic Verses by Salman Rushdie.
That's right. It was Benazir Bhutto who in 1988 became the first modern-day female leader of a Muslim nation when she was elected Prime Minister of Pakistan. Very good. Finally, Fred, who is paying the price of fame here?
It was never any great thrill to me to be recognised. In fact, if anything, it's one of the debts that one has to pay because you can't do a lot of things when you're well known. In fact, I've seriously thought about buying a dark wig and drifting around so that I won't, because I'm still very much recognised wherever I go.
This is not Miss Fluck, is it?
It certainly is. Very good. It was the actress Diana Dawes, who studied at RADA before becoming a major star of British films. She was born in Swindon in Wiltshire, and her real name, as Fred has told us, was Diana Fluck. Our next round is a connections round. I'll give the panellists the names of a group of people, and all they have to do is to tell me what or who is the connection between the people. So, Francis, can you tell me the connection between the following? Moritz Schlick, Rudolf Carnap, Otto Neurath, Ludwig Wittgenstein, Friedrich Weissmann, and Karl Popper.
They were all from Vienna.
Correct.
And they were all Viennese refugees, eventually. They all.
And what did they form in Vienna?
They formed a thing called the Vienna Circle.
Absolutely right. Do you want to talk to me a lot now about logical positivism or not?
Well, that's where it all came from, certainly. It was, an influential philosophical circle. It was one of the reasons most of them had to come over to Britain in a hurry in the 1930s.
Very good. They were all members of the Vienna Circle of Philosophers in the 1920s. They espoused logical positivism, the most simple part of which is the verification theory. If anybody wants to know more about that, ask Francis afterwards.
Consult our website.
Yes, indeed. Carol, what do this collection have in common? The Turkish diplomat, Borhan Belgey, the hotelier, Conrad Hilton, the actor, George Sanders, the inventor of the Barbie doll, Jack Ryan, and the German nobleman, Friedrich von Anhalt.
Yeah, it's a who. It's Shasha Gabor, isn't it?
Yes, right. Very good.
And she married Hilton and Sanders, but Sanders was gay. Mind you, maybe, she's tolerant, isn't she? And she married...
Well, eight marriages, you can call one that's gay.
Yeah, and she married the last one, when she got titled, but wasn't she the person on whom the Barbie doll was based? I don't think she married Jack Ryan, but I think the Barbie doll was based on her. But where your Turkish diplomat comes into this, well, I don't know. I really don't.
Well, you've answered the question and now you're unanswering it.
Oh, is that okay? I thought I was just showing off, actually.
No.
They have all been married to the former Miss Hungary turned actress Zsa Zsa Gabor. You're quite right, Carol.
Right, good.
At present, she's been married eight times. For a bonus point, can you tell me the name of her less famous sister who was also an actress?
Eva Gabor.
A bonus point. Now, Rachel, why might this group of people put a song in your heart? Rupert, Agathe, Werner, Hedwig, Johanna, Martina, Rosemarie, Eleonore, and Johannes.
Is it the Von Trapps?
Yes! Very good. Yes, they are the Von Trapp children who were immortalized in The Sound of Music. There were only seven children in the film, but a good many more in real life. The family did indeed escape from Austria and arrived in America in 1938. They continued as the Von Trapp family singers until the 50s, and you can still visit them at their hotel complex in Vermont. Finally, Fred, it's your turn. Can you give us the link between this lot? Charles Guiteau, Leon Czolgosz, Giuseppe Zangara, John Hinckley III, and John Schrank.
Wasn't Hinckley the one who tried to shoot Reagan, I think it was, wasn't it? So do I assume they've all, like, knocked somebody off or tried to? Right, so does Trotsky figure in there somewhere?
Nope.
No, not...
Think presidents.
Presidents? Oh, McKinley?
Yes.
Garfield?
Yes. Ronald Reagan, you've mentioned.
Reagan,
who
McKinley...
Who did John Schrank shoot? He didn't kill him, but he shot him.
Shot him?
I'm going to tell you the answer. They have all shot presidents of the United States of America. Guiteau killed James Garfield.
Yeah.
Czolgosz killed William McKinley. Zangara shot at Franklin Roosevelt, but killed Anton Sormach, the mayor of Chicago. John Hinckley III shot Ronald Reagan, as you correctly said, and John Schrank shot Teddy Roosevelt.
Evidently Roosevelt got shot.
Well, that's a very good point, because he was very lucky. As Schrank shot him in the chest from 3 feet away, the bullet was slowed by a 50-page speech Roosevelt had in his pocket. The bullet then ricocheted off his spectacle case before lodging in his chest. He was well enough to deliver the speech before going to hospital, but did carry the bullet with him until he died of natural causes 7 years later. At the end of that round, let's have a quick look at the scores. They tell me that Fred and Rachel have 8, but Francis and Carol have an astounding 11. This round is called You Talking About Me. Our panellists will be given descriptions of some well-known figures by other famous people. All our teams have to do is tell me who they think is being talked about. Francis, who was on the receiving end of this unamused statement by Queen Victoria? The danger to the country, to Europe, to her vast empire, which is involved in having all these great interests entrusted to the shaking hand of an old, wild, and incomprehensible man of 82, is very great.
Almost certainly William Ewart Gladstone, I should think.
Yes. Why would she be so rude?
I mean, well, whenever he was meant to be doing his Tuesday night audience to the Queen, he was off rescuing prostitutes instead, so he was also late arriving for his session where he was informing her about the state of the Schleswig-Holstein question and things like that. They never got on.
It was William Gladstone, you're quite right. You might think that that's harsh, but it's nothing compared with what his arch-rival Disraeli had to say about him. Whether Prime Minister or Leader of the Opposition, whether preaching, praying, speechifying or scribbling, never a gentleman.
I always prefer the one with Disraeli about when someone asked him at a cocktail party or a soiree in those days, what's the difference between calamity and catastrophe? And he said it'd be a calamity if Mr. Gladstone never fell in the River Thames and a catastrophe if someone dragged him out.
Carol, here's one for you. Who is Humphrey Bogart describing in this quote? She talks at you as though you were a microphone. She lectured the hell out of me on temperance and the evils of drink. She doesn't give a damn how she looks. I don't think she tries to be a character. I think she is one.
I don't want it to be, but I suspect it is. Catherine Hepburn.
Yes! Very good. It was the screen legend and four-time Oscar winner Catherine Hepburn. She was possibly the best actress of her generation, which I think you'd probably agree with, Carol.
Certainly.
But she simply had this to say about her chosen profession. Acting is the most minor of gifts. After all, Shirley Temple could do it when she was four. Rachel, who was on the receiving end of this remark by the former Liberal MP Cyril Smith? If I was as skinny as her and looked like a banana, I keep my mouth shut. And food was a major problem for her.
Oh, this is Mrs. Scrambled Eggs for Breakfast. This is Edwina Curry.
Correct. Very good. It was Edwina Curry, the former MP for Derbyshire South. Cyril Smith was responding to her remarks that Northerners ate too many chips and drank and smoked too much. For a bonus point, can you tell me, perhaps, Rachel, which famous female Tory shares the same birthday as Edwina Curry?
Well, there's only one other famous female Tory, isn't there? It'll have to be Margaret Thatcher.
Yes.
No. Yes.
So, you know.
Can you imagine the guest list for the two of them having a joint birthday party?
It's not a pretty thought, is it? Though while Baroness T was nicknamed the Iron Lady, Edwina was known as Cruella de Vil. Yeah. Fred, whose Third Symphony met with this response from the Austrian music critic Eduard Hanslick? It's a vision of Beethoven's Ninth becoming friendly with Wagner's Valkyries and finishing up trampled under their hooves.
Tchaikovsky.
Nope, his music could never be described as light.
I don't know, Richard Strauss.
No, I think we're going to have to disallow that. It was the composer Anton Bruckner. His work has always polarized opinion, for while Wagner once said, Bruckner, he's my man, Brahms once described Bruckner's work as symphonic boa constrictors. Our next round is our pseudonym round, also known as AKA. The rich and famous have always taken different names to hide their true identities. All our panelists need to do at this moment is to work out the names under which the following people found fame and fortune. Francis, how is Manuel Benitez Perez better known for his cloak and dagger work?
Yes, well...
It's a cloak and dagger work. He's in quite sort of dangerous occupation.
Well, I'm none the wiser. He certainly wasn't Mata Hari.
No.
He was...
You've got half the
famous,
clue, actually.
A famous... Got half a clue?
Yes. Mata Hari is actually about 65% of the clue.
Oh, 65% of the word. Well, he was called Mata Hari.
No. Manuel Benitez Perez was a matador.
Oh, cloak and dagger. Okay.
Cloak and dagger. They stab him. You know, it's that nice old Spanish pastime. He was the matador El Cordobes. He was the most athletic and theatrical matador of his generation. still killed bulls, shocking the crowds with his reckless moves. When he retired in 1972, he was the highest paid matador in history. Carol, how might Roberta Joan Anderson bend your ear?
Say it again, it's...
Roberta Joan Anderson.
Yeah, it's the middle name, it's Joni Mitchell.
Yes, yep. Very good. She was the folk singer Joni Mitchell. She changed her name from Anderson to Mitchell when she married, even though she started finding fame under her own name. Rachel, why would you laugh, or might you laugh, at Leslie Towns? Leslie Towns.
Well, it's a comedian.
Yes. His name springs eternal.
Not Les Dawson.
Not Les Dawson, Fred, even though you keep...
When about? It's going to have like a period.
We're talking about somebody in their 80s now. Absolute master of the one-liner.
Bob Hope.
Yes, very good. Bonus point there, obviously. It's Bob Hope's original name. He was born in Eltham, London. Known for his ready wit, he once remarked, "If you watch a game, it's fun. If you play, it's a reaction. If you work at it, it's golf." Fred, finally. Josef Vissarionovich Djugashvili found infamy under a much snappier title. What was it?
Well, this is the guy who was caught up with the old Tsar's secret police. He had to sort of do a number of people away so he could maintain his position as Lenin's successor. So that's Stalin.
Yes.
You seem
to know an awful lot about this, Fred.
Yes, I hang around certain areas.
That's very good. It was Joseph Stalin who took over Russia after Lenin's death in 1924. His ruthless leadership style won him few friends, and anyone who disagreed with him ended up exiled or dead. What do you want, exiled or dead? Our next round is entitled Jumbled Biographies. I'll read each of you what seems to be a potted history of someone's life. However, it's actually made up of the details of the lives of three different people who all share the same surname. What you have to do is identify the three people. Frances. This female American novelist was a leading 17th century anti-Catholic conspirator and Antarctic explorer.
Who tripped off into the snow?
Ah, Captain Oates. Good point. And Titus Oates.
We're getting there.
Thanks to my colleague here. I think I can now announce...
Giving you your Oates, as it were.
That. The Antarctic explorer would be Captain Oates.
Yes.
Titus Oates would be the 17th century conspirator.
Yes.
And the American female novelist...
would be Mrs. Oates.
Is...
Well, she's the author of such books as With Shuddering Fall and Them.
Oh, no,
it's Joyce Carol.
Oh, Joyce Carol, sorry. Oh, yeah.
Well done. You get about 1.5 for that. Carol, who is this mixed-up personality?
Yeah.
This Hollywood starlet was promoted as the sweater girl, became Britain's leading landscape artist, and set up the cable news network CNN. Who could they be?
Do you know, this is so disgraceful. This is complete media bunny time. I can do CNN, but I'm stuck on the landscape. It's Turner. It's going to be Turner. So it's going to be...
Turner is correct.
Lana first, Ted last, and the, William.
JMW.
William.
JMW is correct. Very good. As Carol says, they are all Turners. Lana Turner was supposedly talent-spotted while drinking a soda on Sunset Boulevard. Joseph Turner was the great 19th-century painter who bequeathed 300 paintings and 20,000 watercolours and drawings to the nation on his death. And Ted Turner is the American entrepreneur and broadcasting mogul who married Jane Fonda. Rachel, can you make sense of this? This English curate is famed for breeding dogs... outraged cinema censors for showing too much cleavage, and argued that the whole of mathematics could be derived from logic. Who's at the centre of that particularly tangled web?
Breeding dogs, Jack Russell.
Yes.
What was the second one?
Outraged cinema censors for showing too much cleavage.
Yeah. This is the one, the bra that was designed by Howard Hughes for Jane Russell. Wonderful thought, that, isn't it? An aircraft designer reduced to putting sort of D cups under a... very attractive young lady at the time, but she's quite old now.
She's on a storm in a D cup.
Yeah.
And mathematics must be Bertrand.
That's right, Bertrand Russell. Very good. finally, Fred, see what you make of this motley crew. This uneducated jazz pianist became a great virtuoso and vice president of the United States under Roosevelt, while gaining fame for playing a smart-talking Western card sharp and also a private investigator. Who's that?
Western card sharp was Maverick.
Yes.
Yeah, but...
What was Maverick called?
It was Errol Garner.
Yes. What was Maverick's name as an actor?
I can't...
James.
James, correct.
James Garner. Yeah, James Garner.
And
Errol Garner.
Who was Roosevelt's vice president from 1933 to 41?
No, I don't know that one.
That was John Garner.
John Garner.
This is written here. Very good. At the end of that round, let's have a quick look at the scores. Fred and Rachel have 19, but Francis and Carol have 22 and a half. Now, there's one thing famous people never get tired of talking about themselves. This is our autobiography round. I'll read our panellists an introspective quote from a well-known personality, and what you have to do is tell me who that person is. Frances, who said this of herself? I shall be an autocrat. That's my trade. And the good Lord will forgive me. That's his.
Catherine the Great.
Yes, very good. It was Catherine the Great who was Empress of Russia from 1762 to her death in 1796. Although she was ruthless and constantly caught up in intrigues, she was a Francophile and corresponded with Voltaire throughout her life. Carol, who's giving us a candid summary of his life here? I made mistakes, but in all my years of public life, I have never profited from public service. I've earned every cent. And in all my years of public service, I have never obstructed justice.
Well, only the Americans ever speak about public life and public
That's
service
right.
like that. This is, has
right
to be area. American, and it's probably somebody who did exactly what he said he didn't.
What he's denying, yes.
Nixon?
Yes!
Yeah. Oh, good.
It was Richard Milhouse Nixon, the first president to resign from office. His second term of office ended in the scandal that took place at the Watergate building, the saddest consequence of which is that every political scandal since has had the suffix gate added to it. Rachel, who is describing their early life here? I typed student records at Columbia University, sold gloves at a Manhattan department store, and worked briefly as a go-go dancer. Guys kept trying to dance with me, and I had to fight them off with a club. Loved every minute of it.
She's not Camille Paglia.
No.
Because I can't imagine her go-go dancing.
She's known as the divine Miss M.
Oh.
Yeah, it is Bette Midler.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're far too nice for this game. You just have said it's Bette Midler, not let Fred.
It's the big Bette Midler.
She used to work Turkish baths, didn't she? That was one of her things when she
How do you know that, Fred?
I was there.
Very good. It's the singer and actress Bette Midler, a woman who's so brassy she's got a lifetime supply of brasso. Her stage show is decidedly raunchy. She once said of herself, I do have my standards. They're low, but I have them. Finally, Fred, here's a man who's definitely making the best of a bad situation. Being born with a beady-eyed sneer was the luckiest thing that ever happened to me. Who is it?
What, beady-eyed sneer? Well, the two that come to mind are Jack Elam and Lee Van Cleef. Both of those were renowned for the old squinty eye bit.
All right, here's a musical clue, because you're very close.
Clint Eastwood, I assume, from that.
No, it was Lee Van
Cleef. And, of course, Lee Van Cleef was in it.
I think you get the 2 points for that, but I was trying to mislead you. Well done. Our final round is called Don't Give Up the Day Job. The great and the good often start off in a very different job to the one from which they gain fame and fortune. All our panellists have to do is identify some well-known figures from their second jobs. Francis, this woman studied at the Pharmaceutical College Dublin and worked as a pharmacist, but she hasn't found fame for writing prescriptions. Who can it be?
Oh, well, Edna O'Brien?
Yes, very good. Yeah. It is the Irish novelist and playwright Edna O'Brien, author of The Lonely Girl and August is a Wicked Month. And she's that rare thing in the world of the arts, an artist who turned her back on drugs in order to write, rather than vice versa, I suppose. I don't know. Now, Carol,
yes.
This woman started her career with the raunchy dance group Hot Gossip, but she's found her fame in a very different role. Who is it?
Yeah, she married, what's his name?
It's Sarah Brightman.
It is! Very good!
She released a single with Hot Gossip.
Yes.
And it was called Stop. I Lost My Heart to a Starship Trooper, and I demand an extra point for knowing that, because it's so trivial.
That's great! Yes, get one! I was going to ask you, there was a strange coincidence in their relationship, because both of them had been married before. Do you know what was strange about that?
Well, they had the same names. She married an Andrew, and Andrew Lloyd Webber had married a Sarah before her.
Give the man a banana. Rachel, your turn. How did an apiarist from Auckland scale the heights of fame?
Did he scale a very high mountain called Everest?
He did!
It was Edmund Hillary.
Yes, it was. Absolutely right. It was the conqueror of Everest, Sir Edmund Hillary. He was a professional beekeeper and mountaineered as a hobby until he joined the British expedition to scale Everest. Since then, he's been an explorer and even the New Zealand High Commissioner to India. Finally, Fred. This man was at times MP for Preston and an actor. He was also a playwright, and his first play, The Maid of the Oaks, was performed in 1774. But that is not the career that's put him into the history books. Who is it? The Americans found him very obliging. He was a soldier.
Well, in terms of failures in America, I suppose, there was a General Clinton. There was also a gentleman, Johnny Burgoyne.
Yes!
Who lived actually around the back of the Hilton Hotel, though the Hilton Hotel wasn't there at the time. Johnny Burgoyne surrendered at, I think it was at Yorktown.
Well done. You got there through Gentleman Johnny. He was Lieutenant General John Burgoyne, whose capitulation at Saratoga,
yeah.
Gave the... Don't say Saratoga and nod your head now.
Listen, if you've got half an hour, I'll do the campaign down in Shenandoah Valley. What else you want?
Well, that brings us to the end of the show. A look at the scores. Tell me that Fred and Rachel have 27, but Francis and Carol have a staggering 32 and a half. Well done. So that just leaves me to thank our panellists, Francis Wien, Carol Sala, Rachel Holmes, and Fred Housego. Who Goes There was written by Nick Hildred and Hugh Rycroft, and it was produced by Liz Anstey. From me, Martin Young, and all of us here at the BBC Radio Theatre, goodbye.